session across. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life, we give thanks for all the mercies you granted to Paul Timothy during his earthly life, especially for calling him to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort all who mourn his death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Lead all of us to remember that we are mortal, so that we will ever prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Paul was clothed with the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness to Paul and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful to death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians, the 2nd chapter. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul's favorite verse, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Verbum Domini manet in aeternum. That's on the front of your folder. VDMA. Verbum Domini manet in aeternum. It's a quote from 1 Peter 1:25, and that was Paul's wondrous motto. Paul McCain died a long time ago. The Bible, and here St. Paul and Paul McCain's favorite verse speaks in strange ways, and it's so strange that I think in the church we get used to it and don't really understand what Paul's saying by it. I have been crucified with Christ. He says, my death is Christ's death. It's already been died. He says, I went into death with Christ. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified. How could this be? Mrs. McCain, you and your husband brought this child on February 25th, 1962, to a font, didn't you? And little Paul was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit just 58 years ago. According to Christ's mandate, baptism is the gospel. And you know what's so wonderful about it? It puts Jesus together with us. At that moment, Jesus and Paul were one. Paul says that in baptism, we are clothed with Christ. From that moment on in his life, Paul was a beloved child of God, cleansed in the righteousness of Christ, and seen only as a beloved child. And that lasted until his last breath on this earth, and now it lasts for eternity. Paul said this crucifixion is this. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Luther says, when Jesus goes into the water, then when we go into the water, we bring Jesus out with us. He was crucified already 58 years ago. No, already 2,000 years ago. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul's motto, that of Luther's prince, John Frederick, Verbum Domini manet in aeternum, the word of the Lord remains forever, could not be more appropriate for this occasion. Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, says the apostle. Baptism means that all of this is Paul's and all of it is yours. His perfect life, his perfect love, his suffering, and his resurrection. So Paul continues to say, and he says it in numerous places in the New Testament, if we've been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. Lynn, in this life, your husband was a remarkable character. I am honored to have known him so well. He loved you dearly. And I heard him say this many, many times over many, many years. He was amazed at your faith, your strength, your character, and your unbelievable ability. He loved you deeply. Paul and John and Mary, he loved you. He had a special place in his heart for each one of you. I talked to him often about each of you. He hurt when you were in pain or having difficulty. He rejoiced when things were going well for you. And he loved you and prayed for you every single day that you would remain faithful to Christ and his blessed gospel. Mrs. McCain, Paul couldn't believe that at your age you went back to school to become a deaconess. And he was delighted by that and proud. And Kirsten, he sent me pictures of the baby and himself last week, and I don't think I've ever seen him so happy. Most of all, he cared deeply for all of you and your continued faith in Christ and the reception of Christ's gifts. In some ways, Paul was a walking contradiction. He would heat up over some issue very quickly, and in half the time he'd be cooled off and passed it by. I like to call him a bombastic introvert. He could seem intimidating at first if you didn't know him, not knowing that he was a real big softy inside. I recall him calling me one time when I was in Iowa from Dr. Barry's office, and he told me some pretty delicate information about Dr. Barry and some things that were going on. Then he called me the next day and he said, "We've got real problems. Somebody in this office is leaking information and we can't figure out who it is." He was a never-ending font of information on the details of Luther, the Lutheran confessions, Lutheran doctrine, all things theological, and he could present the most deep truths in the most simple, childlike way. And he loved to do that. He loved to preach at St. Paul's. He loved to teach. He loved to talk to his children about Jesus. As publisher, with many of you who work with him, he oversaw what I believe is the greatest decade of Lutheran Orthodox publishing in the history of the world outside of Germany. He loved clear law and gospel preaching, and he often complimented his pastors for it. He detested theological innovation as distinct from creativity, which dispensed with clear Lutheran categories and distinction. He loved the clear scriptures. He loved the Lutheran confessions, and no one had more intricate and profound understanding of them than he. He made no pretense of this. He loved Luther, Chemnitz, and Gerhard. He retained a lifelong appreciation for his seminary profs, particularly Robert Preuss, for his clear interpretation of the Lutheran confessions as a living confession and not passé historical documents. Paul wrote many, many things to which his name was never assigned. He was a very gentle person. He wouldn't hurt a fly, but ironically, his hobby was tactical shooting. And this tender introvert could be irascible in theological debate on the internet. Paul was a damned sinner under the law, and he knew it. That's why I love this verse from Galatians. "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." We are shocked by this death, all of us. I am still numb, but the Lord is not shocked. This is a horrible, short life, but that's not the way the Lord looks at it. The timing is perfect for the Lord, not only for Paul, but for us and for you. Paul is with Jesus right now. This glorious and blessed and precious body shall now be laid to rest, but in my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer lives. These precious remains, as crazy as this sounds, shall rise again at the last day. How do we know this? Jesus' body rose from the grave. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man die, yet shall he live." Paul called Jesus the first fruits of them that sleep, the head. I remember 30-some years ago, sitting in class, we were in Ulrich Ossendorf's course on Luther, and he was teaching 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter of St. Paul. And Ossendorf directed us and taught us through Luther's lecture. And Luther said, Jesus is called the firstborn because there are more coming after him. Jesus is called the head. And what's the most difficult part in birth? The head. But after that, the body comes quickly and easily. Jesus rose from the grave, and you shall too. We shall too. Paul shall too. Luther said, it's so much, the hard work has been done, the difficult part is over. It's as though we just had a little toe hanging over the grave yet. Jesus has done all the hard work. The resurrection will come very easy for us at the last trump. And we shall enjoy eternity together with each other and with Christ our Savior. Yes, it's sad. Don't be afraid. You know the Ten Commandments. You know you're sinners, and you know the gospel. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The word of the Lord endures forever. Don't be afraid. You know the creed. Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. The word of the Lord endures forever. Don't be afraid. You know the Lord's Prayer. You were blessed in this life to have a father and a husband who loved you tenderly. Our Father who art in heaven, with these words God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. He loved me and gave himself for me. The word of the Lord endures forever. Don't be afraid. You know Paul is baptized, and you are too. Baptism now saves. The word of the Lord endures forever. Don't be afraid. Paul confessed his sins every week and more in church and received absolution from the pastor as from God himself. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. The word of the Lord endures forever. Don't be afraid. Paul received the sacrament often and with great joy and profound thanks. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The word of the Lord endures forever. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and may pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to their joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, as you have nourished our bodies with the holy body and blood of your Son, raise our bodies from the dead and seat us with you at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, grant to the bereaved the sure comfort of your Holy Spirit and the assurance of your strengthening word, that they may know the consolation of your love and the joyful expectation of eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for Paul and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in his earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Confident in the hope of eternal life, let us commend our brother Paul to the loving mercy of our Father, who will raise up his body on the last day. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of a joyful resurrection to everlasting life and a reunion with those who die in the faith. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend Paul, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Prior to the benediction, I remind the congregation that the committal to follow is a private committal for the McCain family. Let us bless the Lord. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.